Hello, everyone. Today's devotion is from Acts chapter 26. Again, that's Acts chapter 26, and I'll read that for us. So Agrippa said to Paul, "You have permission to speak for yourself." Then Paul stretched out his hand and made his defense. "I consider myself fortunate that it is before you, King Agrippa, I'm going to make my defense today against all the accusations of the Jews, especially because you are familiar with all the customs and controversies of the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, spent from the beginning among my own nation and in Jerusalem, is known by all the Jews. They have known for a long time, if they are willing to testify, that according to the strictest party of our religion, I have lived as a Pharisee. And now I stand here on trial because of my hope in the promise made by God to our fathers, to which our 12 tribes hope to attain, as they earnestly worship night and day. And for this hope I am accused by Jews, O King. Why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and I did so in Jerusalem. I not only locked up many of the saints in prison after receiving authority from the chief priests, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in all the synagogues and tried to make them blaspheme. And in raging fury against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. In this connection, I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. At midday, O King, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, that shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' And I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all the region of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance. For this reason, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. To this day, I have had the help that comes from God, and so I stand here testifying both to small and great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses said would come to pass, that the Christ must suffer, and that by being the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light both to our people and to the Gentiles." And as he was saying these things in his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, you are out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you out of your mind." But Paul said, "I am not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, but I am speaking true and rational words. For the king knows about these things, and to him I speak boldly. For I am persuaded that none of these things has escaped his notice, for this has not been done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe." And Agrippa said to Paul, "In a short time, would you persuade me to be a Christian?" And Paul said, "Whether short or long, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains." Then the king rose, and the governor, and Bernice, and those who were sitting with them. And when they had withdrawn, they said to one another, "This man is doing nothing to deserve death or imprisonment." And Agrippa said to Festus, "This man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. Amen. In this passage, Paul is once again making his case before a crowd of people, declaring that he's innocent from the accusations of the Jews against him, claiming he's been causing havoc and defying their laws. This time, he's making his case before King Agrippa. And to do this, Paul gives his own testimony of how he met Jesus and that Jesus rose from the dead. Paul appeals to rationality and reason by claiming that all that's been happening with the explosion of this Jesus movement is undeniable and out in the open for everyone to witness. He says, starting in verse 25, "I am not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, but I am speaking true and rational words. For the king knows about these things, and to him I speak boldly. For I am persuaded that none of these things has escaped his notice, for this has not been done in a corner." There's nothing fairy tale or delusional about Paul's claim that Jesus is the truth. This man Jesus is the culmination of the prophets of old. He's the real deal. And Paul soon begins to poke at King Agrippa's heart. And they have this interaction starting in verse 27. Paul says, "King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you believe." And Agrippa said to Paul, "In a short time, would you persuade me to be a Christian?" And Paul said, "Whether short or long, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains." Paul is imploring King Agrippa and the crowd to consider Christ. Paul's personal testimony, all the happenings of the early Christian church, and the fulfillment of the prophets in Christ are all pointing to the fact that Jesus is the one that everyone has been searching for. However, it seems like by the end of this passage, King Agrippa doesn't fully accept Christ. He does believe Paul in his defense of his innocence. He says that Paul is doing nothing to deserve death or imprisonment. But we might infer that something is keeping King Agrippa from fully accepting the message of Christ. We could say that King Agrippa almost had Agrippa the gospel, but ultimately did not. What a waste. Not on Paul's end, because I'm sure that Paul's testimony reached a lot of people in the crowd and caused them to wonder about Christ. But what a waste on King Agrippa's end. He knew so much about the Christian movement. He heard Paul's radical testimony. He knew about the prophets who clearly pointed to Christ's coming. Yet, it seems like he didn't want to be a part of it. Regardless of this, however, Paul remains faithful to Jesus. He did what he had to do to proclaim the truth in that moment, and he was glad about it. And this is the thought I want to leave us with today. The first thing that came out of Paul's mouth in verse 2 is this: "I consider myself fortunate." Paul is in custody, bound in chains. He's accused and threatened with death, being transported from place to place as a prisoner because people don't know what to do with him. Yet, he says that he is fortunate. Why? Because this is just another opportunity for him to preach Christ. Perhaps some of us today could resonate with Paul in that we're placed in a context where the people around us don't know Christ. And I want to encourage us to think as Paul did. I consider myself fortunate. I consider myself fortunate that my life is an opportunity to preach Christ, to testify that Christ is undeniably the answer to life. I can imagine that there were many people that were struck by Paul's testimony in the crowd that day. This is just speculation, of course, but perhaps there were people in that crowd who eventually became a part of the early Christian church and advanced the gospel even more throughout the nations. And we get to continue that in the modern day. Let's ask God for gladness. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you use us. You use imperfect people like us and like Paul to create this huge web of testimony after testimony after testimony, all interlocked together, professing the name of Christ. Lord, how fortunate we are that we have this opportunity to proclaim the truth about Christ in whatever context we're in. Lord, we believe that you have placed us in our specific contexts so that Christ might be made known in each of these individual places. And God, we want to be faithful in proclaiming the truth. So Lord, may you take our imperfect offerings and multiply them for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.